edition of White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on the Mighty Sportsnet Radio Network. Brooke Ward with you, doing the damage as always, this time on a Tuesday night. After the Giants played a matinee special on Family Day yesterday, they won 2 of 3 over the weekend in 7th place in the West. More on that in a couple of moments here. Busy show tonight, though. Giants are looking pretty good right now. Boy, what a feisty game they had. A 7-2 Sunday victory over Prince George, too. A very good team for Prince George. And the Giants ran them on the ice and off the ice, you might say, as well. Very physical game. Lots of hitting, lots of chatter, lots of yelling. From the benches, I don't know which one, maybe both. A lot of F-bombs, I would say. Google that, sports fans, if you don't know what that means. That's the saying of the night. Hey, by the way, Jack the Giant riding shotgun is always here. Could not do the show without him. Hello, Jackie.
Oh, oh, oh.
You betcha, baby. Jack the Giant riding shotgun. He is my bouncer. By the way, special hello tonight to all hospital patients and shut-ins, the pensioners, the blind, those who can't get out to see Vancouver Giants this week. Coming up in the program, I'm going to hear from Giants goaltender coach Paul Fricker in just a couple of moments. We're going to talk about Burke Hood, who's just been terrific in goal, the rookie, 17-year-old rookie, who since the start of post-Christmas break action has been on fire, has Hood. December 31st, his first game back after the Christmas break, he came back as a different goaltender, riding a .917 save percentage since December 31st. 9-5-2 since December 31st. Over the weekend, the 3-0 record and a .932 save percentage over the weekend. Or his last three starts, I should say, for Burke Hood, as it was Vancouver's backup goaltender, Brady Smith, who played on Friday in the first game of the weekend. In a beautiful downtown Victoria, the Giants did not win that game, but they came back with Hood on Saturday against the Royals. And again, yesterday, he was marvelous once again against the Prince George Cougars. But pretty good goaltending tandem the Giants had. Brady Smith, 3-2 in 5 starts with Vancouver as well, winning record. So it was a winning week for the Vancouver Giants, going 2-1. Paul Fricker in a couple minutes. Also, Trent Miner, former Vancouver Giant goaltender, a draft pick of the Colorado Avalanche. He got into 2 games with Colorado already this year, was probably up for a couple of weeks. At last report, he was down in the minors, the Colorado Eagles, at the AHL level for the Colorado Avalanche. But good on Trent Miner, another goaltender that Paul Fricker coached. He's got his dipped a toe in the NHL waters. We're going to talk to him coming up very shortly. As usual, Bill Wilms and Nathan Cantor on the program as well. Did I mention Jack the Giant? If I did not, I would be remiss. Hi, Jack. How you doing?
Ho, ho, ho.
And a big ho, ho, ho to you too, my friend. Friday night, Giants dropped a 5-2 decision in Victoria. Haliburta is 24th. Thorpe is 22nd in that game. Brady Smith, 28 saves. Took the loss, though. His record again, 3-2 with the Vancouver Giants. Saturday, Giants were 4-3 in a shootout over Victoria. They led 2-0 into the third period, fell behind 3-2. Haliburta tied it up with 3 minutes to go. Haliburta with 2 on the night. He's up to 23 as of Saturday's games. Leslie had his 15th for Vancouver. And yesterday, a 7-2 smacking of the Prince George Cougars. 3-0 Giants in the second. They had a 4-goal third period. Adam Tittleback continues to come on, too. His 22nd and 23rd goal. Also, 2 helpers yesterday for the Giants. Tyus Sparks, this young 16-year-old. Is he 17 yet? In his rookie season. His 6th and 7th of the year. Levis had 2 goals. He's up to 20. Leslie's been on fire. He's sitting on 16 goals. And yesterday, Lynn had a couple more helpers. Schmidt, the 2 assists. We told you about Tittleback with 2 assists. 16-year-old Brett Olson had 2 helpers. Haliburta, Roberts, Mittelstadt as well. Burke Hood, 32 saves. 13-10-5 on the year now after the win over the Cougars. And riding an .899 save percentage. Big game yesterday for the Giants. Post-game, on our post-game show in the banquet hall, Justin Morissette, Bill Wilms, the privilege to sit down with, among others, Paul Fricker, the goaltending instructor for the Giants. And yeah, you bet, he is impressed by what Burke Hood is doing.
I'm very proud of Burke's progress right from day one this season, the beginning of the season. He's a goalie who's spent a lot of time succeeding the last few years, well before he got here to us. And, yeah, it's going to plan, and it's not as much me, it's him, right? It's the performer, it's the artist, it's not the coach, and he's very coachable, he does listen, he is enormously talented. He's focused. He's mature for his age. And there's lots more to go here. There's lots more upside. And that's not to say that we won't see blips in the road, too, of course. They're all, you know, he's 17 years old.
That overtime period on Saturday night and into the shootout, was that about as solid a stretch that you've seen from a goalie that's come through your system before?
Well, what I liked best about that was us and him giving up a two-goal lead going into the third. I don't know how long it was, Bill, but 5 minutes into the third, we're now down 3-2, and he fights back. And these are the things that people are looking for. Everyone can see what, you know, Cameron Schmidt can do with a backhand, or Bo Byram can do going end to end. It's what makes a person, the character, which is the hardest thing to scout, and that is the type of thing that the league above would have taken notice. That performance the other day where Hood might have bent a bit, but he didn't break, and he actually pushed back. You can't teach it.
What confidence do you, as a coaching staff, get in the way the Vancouver Giants have played the last six games?
The last six games, I think, have been a microcosm of where this group is, and I think that, I don't know if this is going to answer your question directly. To me, we are a very young group. We are a group that's emotional. When we win, we think the next game is just going to happen and we're going to win. And when we don't win, we somewhat get guilty and play harder and better. And I think that this is just a maturing step that we fans, coaches, players have to kind of work our way through. I think looking at what we have, what Barkley's put together, what Ron's put together, what the coaching, what the main coaches, Manny and Adam, have, I think we have an enormous amount of talent and skill, speed, goaltending. We have defense. We have, have you seen a Giant team since I've been here? You've been here longer than I, with four lines like we have. I think we just need to be patient and keep sticking with it until the players actually realize how good they actually are. I don't think it's dawned on them or on all of them how good the team could be and what it takes to be consistent. So I'm a big believer in getting punched in the nose a little bit and getting up. I always bring this up to goalies, like if they lose a game, fine, what are you going to do about it?
Paul Fricker, Vancouver Giant goaltending instructor. I love that attitude in any walk of life. When something goes wrong, when you get punched in the nose, what are you going to do about it when something goes wrong in life? It's how you react that is one of the key things, isn't it? You can't let it get you down. If that's your whole life's going to be spent down if you let it get you down. Bill Wilms in a couple of moments. Nathan Canter as well. Also next, Trent Miner again. Now, Colorado Avalanche property, couple games in the big leagues with the Avalanche this year. We're going to talk to Trent about all that. He's with the Colorado Eagles at the AHL level right now. Giants off this week until Friday in Kelowna, Friday against the Rockets. The Rockets are back here on Saturday night at the LEC for a 7 o'clock game. And then the Giants hit Wenatchee on Sunday, taking on the Wenatchee Wild. So at Kelowna, you come home to face Kelowna Saturday. You're off to Wenatchee on Sunday. Busy weekend for the Vancouver Giants. Trent Miner, next. Stay with us. I'm Brooke Ward. He's Jack.
Ho, ho, ho.
This is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Mike Halford.
And Jason Brough.
Join us for Halford and Brough in the Morning weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. on Sportsnet 650.
Or on demand anytime through your favorite podcast app.
Back with White Spot Vancouver Giants this week, the mighty Sportsnet Radio Network. Brooke Ward with you. Thank you for being with us here on a Tuesday night following your long weekend. Hope things went well for you. Giants getting back at action coming up this weekend, and a guy who saw a lot of action for the Vancouver Giants over his career, Trent Miner, Colorado Avalanche, Colorado Eagle, Colorado Avalanche draft pick, is now joining us, the alumni for the Vancouver Giants. Hello, Trent. Thanks for doing this, sir.
Hey, Brett. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Oh, I so much appreciate this. How's life? Now, at the moment, you're with the Eagles, but you've been with the Avalanche. So, first of all, with the Eagles, how are things going this year at that AHL level?
It's been great, really. We have a pretty veteran group, an experienced group. So it's been great, you know, being with guys that have had success in the league and been around for long enough. And I think we've had a pretty successful year so far.
What's that step like moving from the WHL and then into the AHL when you talk about the age group? Suddenly there's guys with kids and wives and beards.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it definitely takes a couple of days to get used to when you realize that, you know, you don't just go home to your billet family and have dinner made for you. You're on your own. It's been a great transition for me. I think I've loved every minute of it so far, and it's been cool getting to experience everything and grow as a person as well as a hockey player.
You get your freedom back, I guess, because as you say, hey, wait a minute, I'm on my own now. I've been used to this team. The Giants, as an example, like making me do, I got to go here, I got to go there. All of a sudden, like, oh, by the way, I hope they hooked you up with a hotel or an apartment or something, but otherwise, meals are on you now.
Yeah, and not just that, you know, you get, obviously, with COVID, now everything turned out there. I didn't play, you know, they get the full 19 season at home, and the 20-year-old season wasn't an option either. So it turned pro pretty quick, and I figured it out pretty quick. I had to grow up and learn to take care of myself pretty fast.
Do you still go to White Spot?
Actually, yeah, we just did. Yeah, here in Abbotsford, we just did.
What's your go-to at White Spot? Or did you have, like, because with the Giants, you saw it a lot. I don't know if everyone had a go-to. Suddenly that menu looks familiar, awful familiar. Do you have a go-to?
Yeah, I would say a pretty simple, just keep it with the Nats already, and just a simple breakfast that way. Is that and a coffee is the way to go, I think.
Me too. I'm with you. We're on the same page. That's cool. Your time with the Giants as well, I want to get back to that and working with Paul Fricker and whatnot. Now you move on to other goaltender coaches and whatnot, but can you tell me a little bit about your development under Paul in the dub with the Giants, Trent?
Yeah, I was very lucky to have my time with the Giants to be able to work with Paul, and not just Paul, but you know, being with David Tendick for a couple of years was pretty surreal, and I think I got pretty lucky with how, you know, the timing and everything worked out that I was able to work with you know, not just a coach, but someone who's a great friend of mine, in both Paul and Dave, and I think everyone benefited from it, you know, maturity wise and skill wise in the game, and I think we were very dominant because of such a great friendship that we, the three of us, have built together.
Well, yeah, trying to split that time with Tendick too. That, what a great 1-2 punch that was. One of the best the Giants have ever had. You keep in contact with David Tendick?
Yeah, for sure. Keep in contact with Dave. It sounds like he's getting things going and doing well. So it's been great to hear that. Yeah.
What was your time in the, and there's more time coming, but you got, and I saw in Vancouver, it was really cool when you guys were here and Colorado was here, and I saw you were backing up, but there was just a bench shot and you were standing in the tunnel. I thought, there's Trent. how cool was your time with the Avalanche and hopefully more to come?
Yeah, no, every bit that I've gotten has been an amazing experience, whether that was, you know, in Edmonton or Washington, and just seeing, you know, players that you grew up watching, and whether, you know, the game get to play or just watch, is pretty surreal to, you know, be a part of all of that. And at the end of the day, it was great to experience just treating it like it was another game. And you know, if I got in there being ready, but obviously just enjoying the experience of it all and just soaking it all up.
Wow. Per diem at the NHL level, more than you make in a day at the AHL level?
Not quite, but no, they take care of us very well, from hotels to meals and everything. It's a pretty awesome experience.
I can just imagine. Tell me, if you will, what's travel like? NHL travel all of a sudden, Trent. Walk me through that.
Yeah, it's pretty seamless. I mean, you show up, walk onto the plane, and I guess as long as you're not having to do customs, you pretty much walk on the plane and walk off the plane at your destination, right to the hotel, and they're pretty pretty nice places you stay at. So it's pretty easy living. I enjoy it.
Wow! So I know guys who have ridden on the team planes before, but I have never. And it's like, and from what I hear, it's hot and cold running beverages, and you know, there's a flight attendant to every person, and there's hot and cold running food. I mean, is it that surreal too? Just like, even the post-game meals, never mind that, the post-game meals at the NHL level are like incredible. But that, on that type of plane life too, is that really what's going on the plane?
Yeah, we were pretty lucky with here with the the flight attendants that are on the plane are actually the same ones all year round. So you really get to know them all personally and really build more of a friendship than more than you know someone working. You really get to know one another, and it's a pretty cool experience, really, that they take such amazing care of us and you get to know who they are.
That's the coolest part of walking, basically. Get out of your car, still running, walk to the plane, someone parks your car, you come back, there's your car.
Yeah.
Wow. So here we are. You've had NHL travel, and I'm the whiner lots of times when the NHL players just say, well, I'm tired. I'm like, yeah, but you don't fly like I do if I'm flying for 5 hours somewhere. You can lie down, go to sleep. You got four rows to yourself. Now I'm looking at Trent Miner, and I'm saying, hey, you can relate a little bit to that one. Do you still think, come on, you guys, you're soft. What do you mean you're tired? You could lay out in three rows and sleep.
Yeah, no, I definitely see I definitely see both sides of it. You know, when you're playing, when they're playing back to backs, and you don't get in until you know 2 or 3 in the a.m. in the morning. Not that I had to do that, but I could definitely see where it's exhausting playing at the highest level and traveling like that and playing an 82 game season for sure.
Yeah, you drank the Kool-Aid, man. I was counting on you. You drank the Kool-Aid. Come on, they're soft up there. No, beats being on the iron lung. Beats you've gone 12 hours or 14 hours, Prince George back into Langley and played the next day. You're not going to sell me on the NHL guys. So that's a tough gig, that one, riding the bus. You don't miss the buses, do you?
No. We're pretty lucky with where we are with the Eagles. We usually do two-game segments and fly in, fly out with the Eagles, whereas, you know, sometimes in the Eastern Division, in the American League, we'll do we'll do bus trips, so we're pretty lucky with where we are.
Oh, man, pretty good. Trent Miner with us for a couple more minutes here, a former Vancouver Giant goaltender with the Colorado Eagles now. Got into a couple games for the Avalanche at the NHL. How long were you there, by the way? You played two games. What, were you up a couple weeks?
I've had a couple different stints. The first time I got in was just I was up for the day, but then I've had a couple other stints that were around a week long and at home and on the road. So I really got to experience quite a bit of it so far. It's been pretty amazing.
What players in Colorado, the Avalanche, stand out to you? What was awe-inspiring?
I think, there's the obvious Nate MacKinnon and Cale Makar, obviously, are pretty much dream players of any team can dream of. But honestly, all the guys are all surreal people, and I've been there for so long and within the organization for so long that I get to know everyone. And you know, when I get called up or whatever, it's nice to know everyone there, and they're beyond friendly, and it's been a seamless transition. Awesome. And I've had that opportunity.
Awesome. First game you came in relief against Washington, there's Ovechkin, right?
Yeah he you can definitely see the respect he has on the ice from everyone, and obviously he's still eventually going to be probably the top goal scorer ever. So it was pretty surreal to play against him.
Wow. I'm just looking him up here in the game. He only had one shot on goal. Was it on you? Do you recall?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Describe that for me, please. Color commentator.
Yeah. He was standing in front of the net, and I can't remember if it was a shot from the point or where it was coming from, but it was a deflection, and you know, you don't realize how big he is until he's standing in front and you're trying to look around him. Not just tall, but also wide too. He's a big, strong guy, and there wasn't much moving him in front of the net.
Deflection, an Ovi deflection. You didn't get the full-on heater.
No. I don't remember if they had a power play or not, but I don't think they did when I went in. And no, I didn't get the chance to face that one.
You see, I'd want to. I'd be scared to death, but I'm also like, well, while I'm here, you may as well wind up. I got to see this.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be pretty cool to say, in the year he broke the record, or leading up to the, when he broke the record, but he got to face that shot.
I know. Next time. Well, you get a deflection. And then Chicago, you played another game against Chicago. You're seeing Bedard and all those guys. Anything stand out to you from the Chicago game that you got to start in, too?
Yeah, I think being pretty lucky to have my first start at the United Center was pretty awesome, and all my family was there, and just to get to experience that, and then having obviously playing as Bedard and Hall, and it wasn't the outcome we wanted, but just to get to live that experience, and I thought I played pretty well. It was a pretty cool experience to get to do everything.
Were your legs shaking, or what was going on? When the anthem's playing, you're standing there in your crease. What was going through your mind?
Yeah, no, usually most anthems, you kind of focused in, but the anthem there, the players, the other guys were warning before the game happened out. how amazing the anthem is there. And I didn't realize it until it started. It's the whole arena gets into it, and it was pretty awesome. Wow. I can't lie.
I don't want you to. Yeah, I can hear the smile on your face as you're saying it. It's kind of like surreal. Like, okay, focus. So crazy. By the way, real quick on David Tendick, because we talked about it earlier. He's been in the East Coast League with Florida and Manchester this year as well. Because we dropped him earlier, he's having a good season with Manchester in particular. And before, they got seven games, he got a .930 save percentage with Manchester Storm in the East Coast League. What is the EIHL?
It's the league in England.
In England, thank you.
Yeah.
So he was East Coast League with Florida, but now he's moved on to Manchester. There you go. I was thinking of Manchester, New England, or something like that, if there is such a place. So.
He's been doing great too. It's been awesome to see him succeed. He's always been such a gamer and does so awesome. I'm so happy to see him succeed.
Yeah. Let's get him his pride of North Vancouver. You're out of Manitoba. He's out of North Vancouver. Arizona Coyote draft pick was Tendick as well. So we keep our eyes on him too. Paul Fricker keeps me posted on all you guys. So that's good. Trent, thank you, man. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. What a pleasure. Paul said it would be a pleasure. And it is a pleasure. Thank you, pal. I wish I got to know you more when you were with the Giants, but maybe I'll catch you on an airplane, or I'll see you in an airport someday when you're traveling with the Avalanche.
Yeah. Hopefully the schedules line up too. I can make it out to a Giants game.
Oh, you got to.
That'd be awesome.
Let us know. Make sure we know you're there. So thanks, Trent. Appreciate it, pal, so much.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me.
Trent Miner. Brooke Ward with you. Coming up next, Billy Wilms. Little Billy Wilms is coming up next. Stay with us. This is White Spot, Vancouver Giants this week on the mighty Sportsnet Radio Network, the flagship station, Sportsnet 650.
Iso Guy for Victoria. A save from Hood and it's over. Iso Guy will weave his way in. Shoot, stopped! Hood with the save. Giants with the win. 4-3 in a shootout.
Burke freaking Hood. Brooke Ward with you. Brooke freaking Ward with you here on Sportsnet 650, the home of the Vancouver Giants. White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. It's Bill freaking Wilms with us. Hi, Bill freaking Wilms. How the frig are you?
Hey, I'm really good, man.
Burke Hood, he's pretty good.
Yeah, you know what? That was awfully nice tribute last night at the game as well. Monday night. So thank you. All is good. How can it not be?
Let me tell people, Bill celebrated a birthday yesterday, and they rode a nice Dale Sipe and everything in charge, and Christina beside me and myself in charge of, and Christina put a great photo collage of you up on the big screen on the Jumbotron, Bill, and we read a little happy birthday to you after your 5,000 games in the Western Hockey League, and all the things you've done. It was really neat, man, and I thought Christina did a great job putting those pictures up there, too.
Yeah, no, that was outstanding. And I learned again, nobody can keep a secret.
No. Well, it's Facebook, right? I was on Facebook during the day. And all of a sudden it says, it's Bill Wilms' birthday today.
I know.
That's why I don't put my birthday on Facebook. So it's Bill Wilms' birthday today. Okay, must be Bill. And then I sent a note to Christina, and she's on to Cypher. And Cypher probably knew anyway, because he knows everything. But yeah. Happy birthday.
Well done. Thank you, everybody.
What'd you get for your birthday? What happened?
Oh, what did I get? Golly, we just had a great dinner after the game last night, my wife and I, which is outstanding as always. And, just a lot of, we had a family deal real quick. I think we had 14 of our family at Quinn's, Pat Quinn's, the trophy room. We had a great dinner there. So, no, it was good.
Awesome. And your lovely bride, Eve, of 62 years, I believe, your lovely bride.
You believe that? That's the best birthday gift ever. I think my first birthday with her, Brooke, was my 19th, so how about that?
Neither one of you, let's just say in the last 15 years or so, Bill, more now, I guess, maybe 18, that you and I have worked together on a daily basis with the Giants, neither one of you get any older. I don't know, what's your secret? What's Eve's secret?
Well, you golf a lot. We're obviously incredibly blessed, and I'll tell you, for me personally, the fact that Ron Toigo and the family have given me an opportunity to do what I've been able to do with the Vancouver Giants is a massive keeping it young. I just love what I do. I like to prepare and fortunately, people like to listen, and it's a great motivator. And my wife's 100% behind me.
Yeah, you both must eat well, because whatever you're doing, you always have a little bit of a tan on you. You're looking happy. I've never seen Eve frown ever. And
I keep looking, Brooke, I keep looking at the vitamins she's taking. She's got that whole rack in front of her on the kitchen table, loading it up, and I'm thinking, just keep taking it.
Okay, well, I'm going to be phoning home, your home number later, because there's cell right now, and ask Eve what she takes, because I need some of this stuff. but anyway, hey, what are the Giants taking, man? It was a really good 2-1 weekend after the opening loss in what was a tight game till a couple empty netters for Victoria, but great bounce backs from Vancouver after that first loss to the Royals in their rink.
Yeah, it was. That night it was Victoria scored first. They scored last. They got the top line. Isagai, Reshny, and Trebecki scored all four goals. The fifth one was kind of an empty netter. The Giants never led, chased the game, and that's a tough thing to do in that building. And I like what Adam Maglio said in our post game. He said, we didn't have the consistency through the lineup. And he's talking about compete level, obviously, and execution level. And I thought it was pretty cool what James Patrick said on Donnie and Dollywall, actually, to be honest with you. He said that's exactly what he's facing and his big challenge as a coach of Victoria, and I'm sure all the coaches in the league, Brooke, is the consistency level that you want to demand from your players.
Yeah.
And he said we're at a time, too, where we expect expectations to be higher, and they know what the standard is. They talk about the template, and it goes back, I think, to our Alberta trip when Adam said we're just touching the ceiling of how good this team can be. And I think they took that evaluation and that reinforcement. I thought they took that into the Saturday game at home against Victoria and then obviously the next game Monday against Prince George.
You know, it's just funny talking about Mr. Patrick on Donnie and Dolly the other day, the Royals coach. I thought there was a great interview and some great insight to how the players have changed. And, you know, trying to get these guys up all the time, and go, go, go.
Yeah.
And you just think, Bill, like back in our day, no one had to get you up, although I wasn't playing a 68-game schedule. But it was like, wow, drop the puck. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Things have changed.
You know, and he said something interesting too. He felt that today's athlete obviously is extremely elite and talented as far as hockey is concerned, but he thought they missed something not playing football and baseball in the summertime. And I get that. I agree completely.
Yeah, me too, frankly. I remember a couple of hockey schools in the summer that I was invited to, and I thought, you know what? I want to go out with my friends, socialize, play frisbee, play football, play baseball, and all these other things I like to do. So that ended my career, frankly, but anyway, the Giants, who stands out to you over the weekend, sir? And we just heard the Hood. I mean, how can Burke freaking Hood? I mean, how can he not be one of them?
You know, when Victoria tied that game and actually went ahead 3-2 on the second game against Victoria in our building, at 6:23 of the third period, the next 14 minutes to get to overtime, then the 5 minutes in overtime, then the three Victoria shots that he blocked, and the one you just played was the one that, clinched the win. Brooke, that was some of the best goaltending I have seen in this building. The 19 minutes of hockey that was left there, it's maybe the best I've seen in a long time. And, let's not forget, the four goals from their top line the night before, they only got one in that second rematch game, and I thought that was a big important part. I'm not a big fan of matching lines, Brooke, to be honest with you. I just don't know if that disturbs your bench chemistry at all, a little bit at this level, but you do have to do it. And real quick, I talked to Ernie McLean. He asked me between periods, we talked about matching lines, and he said he never once in the heydays ever matched lines. And Freddie Shiro, Flyer coach, against Boston in one of the Stanley Cup finals, he was asked what he thought of Wayne Cashman's play from the Bruins. He said, I didn't notice it. I only watch our team. And I thought that was really an evaluation that said, you're dealing with matching lines. You've got to be careful. Kids on the bench at this level feel, you know what, I can go out and do a good job against that line. They're really motivated. A little different at the pro level when you're making a gazillion dollars. You know, that's your job now is to match. Can I tell you a quick Don Hay story about Marshall Lane?
Of course. Give me any Don Hay story you got.
Yeah, okay. I didn't watch practice as much, and I still don't. But we were in the playoffs, and he was practicing matching lines. Okay, so the faceoff was in their own zone, and he was doing this on the ice in practice, faceoff in his own zone. And assuming you won the draw, now the puck would go back towards the boards in your end, right? And he had defense that could delay with the puck about 10 seconds. And he said, I never could believe how those guys forwards rushed off the ice as soon as they won that faceoff, especially the long change. They just flew off the ice, and now you had the other three forward lines coming out. The defense had delayed with the puck long enough that now they could get the matchup. And he practiced that. And the two guys that I would think were the Giants, that would be the two defensemen that would delay the pace a little bit. Obviously, it'd be Leslie and Ryan Lynn. But that's matching lines, and I know moving forward, you're really going to have to do that.
Yeah, I don't mind the philosophy of Punch McClain and good old Freddie Shiro, by the way. I don't match lines with them. If they want to match with us, fine. Go ahead, match my line.
Exactly.
I'll just roll my line out. You match. I'm not worried about you. That's how much confidence I have in my team. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. You're actually admitting a little bit that, you know what, we're not as good as you when that line's on the ice. So yeah. You have to match that. But I thought after the Prince George win, when you take a look at the last six games, Brooke, have been the toughest part of the schedule for the Vancouver Giants. Spokane, Portland, Everett, Victoria, and Prince George. And they came 3-3, and 3-1 in the last four, by the way. I think that the message about what this team can do is getting through. I think guys are really understanding how good they are and how good they can be. And, I mean, we talk about Burke Hood. You know, he's 3-2 in the five games he played of the six, Brooke, and a 9.22 save percentage. Incredible. Number one star, he's been three number two stars, I'm sorry. And Tyler Thorpe, I think he's taken his game to what appears to be another level. Yeah, I think he's just learning how good he can be. He's gotten to places on the ice where he can test his speed now. He clearly has gotten an ability to separate. It's not just coming down that right wing and blasting the puck. He can separate from defenders. And how about his physicality? A couple scraps. He's taken on a couple big guys on the opposite team.
I thought he was, you look at stats when it comes to three stars sometimes, Bill. Okay, who had the goals? Who had the saves?
Right.
I mean, he could have thrown Thorpe in there, too, and all he had was, he had stats. They were penalty minutes. He was so... I want my guy with a chip on his shoulder. I need a few guys like that. And I'm seeing that with Tyler Thorpe, certainly on the weekend. I love that part of his game.
Yeah, he's just learning that. He's just figuring that out. Got to remember, he was nobody's draft pick at 17 years old. He was late growing into his body, and he still is. And you know what he can do really good now? I think he's getting a whole lot better, too, is he can chip a puck past the player and pick it up behind him. And as I said a couple times now, you don't think he's skating fast. Watch the guys he's blowing by. And the big man's moving. And I think that's such a big, big factor in him moving forward into the professional ranks. And last thing about, how about Tyus Sparks, eh?
Yeah, beautiful. Up to 7 now. Love this kid.
And he doesn't get any power play time. You know, think about that. 16, and he's got the 7 goals, and he's a big guy. He scored the opening goal. I thought that was important against Prince George. And, you know, when they got it to within 2, who gets the third goal again for the Giants to get the 3-goal lead? And that was, you know, the youngster. It's just amazing. He made it 5-2.
Yeah. I mean, what do you – if you're looking at glass full, not half, glass full rookie forward, how many goals can I get out of him? Would you be going, wow, that's good. That's promise. 5, Bill? Would you go to 7 or 8? If you had just a rookie, and we'll take Sparks, what are you expecting? Has he surpassed those expectations as a rookie?
Yeah. No, he's exceeded. Just incredible. And again, it's a great credit to the drafting of Barclay Pernetta and the Giants. I mean, when they get him at number one, you only get two priority, U.S. priority draft picks. He's the one, and how good is he? And I think I might have mentioned this to you before. If you take Schmidt, Reskovic, on that line with, who am I thinking, the left wing, the three first, Obel Bifo, if he's playing.
Yeah.
Those are all three first-round draft picks in that one year. And they would make a really, really good first or second line, to be honest with you, on a lot of teams. But, real quick, when I look at Sparks, let's say for next year, that shot that he's got, if you got Leslie, but on the forward group, on the power play, Brooke, you got Sparks on one side and Schmidt on the other, and you have to score off the flanks. You can't score a lot of goals on the power play, for that matter, but on the power play, especially on a shot from the point that's coming down the middle. You know, the goalies are going to make that save, and the defensemen are going to block it even before it gets to the goaltender. But you got to go from side to side. You got to get the goaltender moving. And you saw it yesterday when Mazen Leslie scored that goal from that one side. And I can only imagine Sparks at 17 and Schmidt on the other side shooting with those kind of shots. Oh, my goodness.
Happy day after your birthday, Bill. And all our love to your lovely bride of 62 years, Eve, as well.
Many, many thanks, Brooke. I've been very, very lucky and a very fortunate guy to be doing what I'm doing and to have what I'm having. Thank you.
You are welcome, sir, and keep up with those vitamins. You might want to take a few of them. Eve's got them. Although you're crushing it without them, Bill, so who am I to say? Bill Wilms! Bill frickin' Wilms! Ladies and gentlemen, Nathan Kanter's next. I'm Brooke Ward. This is White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio.
And Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and post-game on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's going to be a 2-on-0 the other way. Kipke with Lizowski. Lizowski to Kipke. What a save! Hud! Oh my goodness! He robbed Kipke. He stopped a 2-on-0. Ladies and gentlemen, Burke Hood.
Burke Hood. Ladies and gentlemen, Burke Hood. Ladies and gentlemen, Nathan Kanter is with us as well. Hello. Hello, Big Nate. How are you, pal?
Hello, hello, hello. I'm great. Great weekend. Tons of entertainment. You could tell I was a little excited. There is so much good, so many storylines. I think there's a lot to break down, to talk about.
I hear you, buddy. That was the 2-on-0 after a turnover at the opposite blue line. So basically a 2-on-0 from the other blue line in mm-hmm. overtime, 3-on-3 OT on Saturday. Hood saved the day, and he made a lot of saves at night three in the shootout, too. And but I got too many ways to go here. We talk Hood, but how about Obel? I was going to say Obel Bifo. Speaking of which, poor guy, huh? Here's a very big development year for Obel Bifo, and he's on Central Scouting's radar, but man, you don't get this year back.
Yeah, no, you don't. But that's something that, imagine this team with him. You feel for the young kid, and the good thing is the operation that he had is going to surely help him long term with the shoulder thing that he had. And once that's done, he'll be noticed. He will get noticed. He will get drafted. He's going to have a tremendous professional career. I really do think he's that good. But just imagine if you add him to this forward group. Paul Frickard said something post game very interesting, which was, this team is, we have to keep in mind, they are still young. They're on the younger, they're not the youngest, but they're on the younger, edge of things in terms of teams around the league. This is a team with 10, 17 and 16 year olds. And Obel Bifo is one of them. But what Paul said, which is very interesting, is he hasn't really seen a team this deep in terms of the forward group, in terms of rolling all those lines. And what we just saw in terms of the win over Victoria, a win over Everett last weekend, and a win over Prince George 7-2 on Family Day Monday, is we're seeing all of those lines contribute. We just saw Tyus Sparks score two goals. We saw Adam Tittleback score two goals. We saw the older guys too, like Connor Levis and Ty Halliburton, they're producing as well. Jaden Lipinski is also helping out on the offense. So you have such a deep lineup, and that's without somebody you just mentioned in Aaron Obafemi, who I think would be a 25 goal scorer at 17 for sure.
I hear you. Not the way I planned to start this, but it just led into Obo. Don't want to forget about him. He had 6 goals and 10 points in 13 games and back to back, I think, shoulder injuries, then surgery. And what a drag for the poor kid. But otherwise, for the Giants, yeah, that was pretty 2-1 weekend after the way it started, losing 5-2 to Victoria. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, this was I would say, and Bill and I discussed this during the broadcast, really, really tough stretch, like in terms of the opponents, in terms of the schedule, who you're playing in this past little bit. A lot of it was at home. But the Giants rose to the occasion, and they have a very strong road record now. And I don't think you could say that last year, where teams would come into the Langley Event Center. And the goal, obviously, is to the goal is to make it a hard place to play. And I think the Giants have done that this year with their 18-9-2 home record, where, again, you beat Everett, you were facing Everett. You had a really good game against Spokane. Like, this is the cream of the crop in the Western Conference. You beat Victoria, they're in second place. You beat Everett, they're in first. You have a good game against Spokane, they're in third. And then you followed up with a win over Prince George, who's in fourth. So those are literally the best teams in the Western Conference. I think they played very well. Overall, in their last 6, 3-3. But I think there's... We talk about the template a lot and you know, playing connected and playing to what the coaches want. We are seeing that. And the important thing, Brooke, is we're seeing it right as we get into playoffs. So that's the best part about it. You want to be trending in the right direction at the right time.
Well, we've got 14 left or something like that. Yeah. Wow. Crazy. Time flies. 18-9-2 at home. A respectable 9-12-4 away from home as well. 27-21-6 on the year for the Giants. A couple names I want to drop on you before we get into who's flying under the radar, who's hot. But, and they can factor into this, but, and I'll just do two with you here. But Hood, you made the call the other day. Burke Hood has been tremendous. You know, since December 31st, which is basically his first game back after the break. He has a .917 save percentage since December 31st, and terrific. And it's just .899 in the season, too, so it's almost got to get to that .900 mark. But, boy, does this guy just continue to get better every game.
Yeah, he absolutely is. It's simple. When he's in the net, he gives you a chance to win. Doesn't matter who you're playing. Doesn't matter, you know, back-to-back, schedule, whatever it is, where he's playing, he will give you a chance to win the game. He's a 17-year-old rookie, and he's won his last 3 in a row as well. Should mention that. Yes, I love going back, and it's since the end of December, where we've really seen his numbers take a turn. And recently 3-0 with, I think it's a .932 save percentage in those 3 wins, stopping 37 of 39, then 27 of 30, and then 32 of 34. So he's playing outstanding, and we do need to keep in mind that he is 17, and he shouldn't be expected to stand on his head all the time and over his journey. And we obviously hope that he gets drafted, and I think he should this upcoming summer. Moving ahead, as he's 18 and 19, etc., there will be, as Paul Fricker reminded us yesterday, some bumps in the road. That's just all part of the development, but to see what he's doing at his age, I do think is very rare at this level, and that's just how good he is.
Yeah, he's been terrific, and to know hopefully he's going to be around for a little while too for Vancouver. And I asked Bill about this, just Tittleback, the rise of Adam Tittleback, who's risen up the roster too, and risen up the line combos too.
Yeah, he's a completely different player from last season, which. I mean, it was his first year moving to North America from Czechia. You don't know anyone, and you got to adjust to, you know, on and off the ice. It's a different game on the ice, and I think the bigger thing is it's a completely different cultural experience off the ice. So he needed time to, you know, adjust, and he is getting back to the Adam Tittleback that the Giants, you know, saw when they drafted him, which is about the speed and the control and making plays and playing with confidence. I love him because he's now always smiling. And it is a direct correlation that when he's feeling good, he's playing good. And I 23 goals, I did not see at this point of the season for him. And for sure at 19, he's going to be a really, really good player next season. And I hope he can, you know, contribute like he has now up to 40 points. I hope he can contribute in the playoffs, and I don't see why he can't. It's been absolutely night and day between this year and last year.
9 goals in 66 games last year. He had 30 points, and now his second year in 54 games, he's riding 40, as you mentioned, and 23 goals. And I rarely see him without a smile on his face. You see more of him than I do. The only time I don't see him smiling is on his headshot on the website. It's like these players, he could look happier, but otherwise, anyone's headshot, no one's smiling. Usually it's just like, okay, mugshot. Go ahead, smile. It's okay. You can do it. All right. Who's hot and who's not, basically? Who's hot? We'll get to who's flying under the radar, too. Some of the guys that maybe should get some street cred but aren't. Who's hot right now?
Well, Mazen Leslie with another goal, 16 now on the season. I do have to constantly remind myself that this young man is a defenseman, the 19-year-old, 16 goals, 62 points. But as of recently, yes, he's hot. He's got a 5-game point streak with 9 points. But how about this, going back a little further, 28 points in his last 18 games. And again, he is a defenseman. So he's playing out of his mind. He's playing absolutely fantastic. I think that's, you know, along with Tittleback, who we just talked about with 40 points, he's obviously hot now. He had a 4-point game, but he's got 6 goals in his last 7. And, I think those are the biggest in terms of hot right now. I know Haliburta had been, if you go back to, you know, he's got the 2-goal game from the Victoria one, and I know he didn't score on Monday, but I think it's 9 goals in his last 10 or something for Ty Haliburta, too. So he is certainly hot as well. But I like to see that duo, you know. I think this team is led by Leslie and Haliburta. Those two, you know, one of them wears the C, one of them wears one of the A's. And Haliburta was a huge part of that come from behind win over Victoria. And he drags a lot of the other guys, and Leslie does too, drags them into the fight. And they are playing some of their best hockey of their Western Hockey League career, which has all been with the Giants. They're playing some of their best right now.
Who is flying under the radar? Unsung, maybe.
Well, I was going to say Sparks. He had a couple goals. I really like this young player. He had a couple goals on Monday, so maybe not flying under the radar as much. I thought Ethan Middlestead had a very good weekend, and he's someone who, you know, you brought in to get more depth on defense, move pucks up ice, get them into the hands of the forwards, and I thought he's really, really elevated his game during when they've played these better teams, and I think they've needed him. Obviously, you didn't have Merrick Howell in the lineup, and at a point, you also didn't have Ryan Lynn in the lineup. But I think Middlestead had a couple of really strong games on Saturday and Monday. And wanted to point out him and Roberts as well. Yeah, like they play together, Roberts and Middlestead. So I think they played a couple of really, really strong games. I would say them flying under the radar. How about a couple of reverse hits? I don't know how you feel about those on the Monday, but Morelli, do you see Morelli's reverse hit?
I did.
In the corner.
I did too. Is that where he really smoked the guy? Was that a reverse hit in the corner?
Did he ever? And it was the same kid on Prince George who was the recipient of both of those. I forget who did the other one, but the fourth line, I do want to shout out too, Morelli, Kale, and I guess it was Sparks. It was the trio. So Sparks with the goals, but how about Kale and Morelli as well? I think they played really well too.
Excellent.
On Monday.
I'm not a big fan of the reverse hits. They're legal, but I'm not a big fan of it because if you think, well, the guy's coming into me and I have the puck, so it's contact, but I'm contacting him and I'm the guy with
the
puck.
Interference, it's technically,
yeah.
Isn't it?
But if someone reverse hit me, I'd want to take their head off. So I'm surprised there's not more fights after the reverse hit. So apparently it's not bothering a lot of people. But anyway, that's just me. Sparks, by the way, out of what? Meridian, Idaho. First star yesterday. And when Justin Morris said interviewed him on the ice, one of the things was, you're a long way from home. How's the adjustment? And Sparks said, I am having a blast. And I thought, I got to start using that phrase. So I just had a blast with you, Nathan. Thank you, pal. I appreciate it.
That's beautiful. And should mention, just Sparks' dad did play for the BC Lions. So cool BC connection.
Really?
There. Yes. Nate Sparks' dad. So there is a bit of a Vancouver, but yes, he's far from home. And he's going to have a great WHL career. You can see the talent.
You've got me now Googling. I gotta get, I'm running out of time here, but I'm Googling. I found him, but I'm not finding a lot. But what year? 2000 season. Nate Sparks played for the BC Lions. That's crazy. Out of Boise State. He was a quarterback. I don't even remember him in 2000. That's a Damon Allen territory, buddy. He got it 2 for 7 through the air for 5 yards. Oh, cool. Interesting. What a hook.
Yeah.
Cool, buddy. You're the best, man. Thanks, Nathan. It was a blast.
Thank you, as always. I had a blast, too. Awesome, Brooke.
Sir Nathan of Canter, what a good guy. Play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Giants. I hope you had a blast, as we are out of time. We've run up against the clock here as we move into the 8 o'clock hour. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. You heard Paul Fricker earlier in the program, Nathan Canter, Trent Miner, Colorado Avalanche, goaltender Billy Wilms, too. Thank you so much. Oh, yeah, Jack's here. Good night, Jack.
Oh, oh, oh.
Sometimes this guy, man, gets on my nerves. Jack the Giant also helping us out tonight, and I appreciate you being with us. Hope you had a blast. Giants at home to Kelowna on Saturday night. We'll see you there at the Langley Event Center. I'm Brooke Ward. This is White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650.